Send out your light and your truth that they may lead me, and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come, let us adore him.
Conceal my waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who ask this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A reading from the second letter of Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill his power, ever good resolve, and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man there was named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I don't feel right moving forward with a homily without first acknowledging that Courtney is not here with us. Her husband, JR, passed away. And we hold her presence in our hearts and thoughts. Grief probably will come later for her. She's probably just numb and bewildered. She's having her own out-of-body experience. So I encourage you to reach out to her, say hello, just say you're around and you're walking with her, all right? I just came back from a week in Blowing Rock, and every year I go and spend about 4 or 5 days with Leighton Ford and some other ministers, and we've been doing this for about 25 years. It's kind of interesting to get to know someone that way, because every time you get together, you kind of pick up where the story ended last, and then you kind of fill people in. Leighton Ford is an evangelical evangelist who's married to Billy Graham's sister, and Jeannie was up there, and she looks exactly like her brother. Leighton is from Canada. Was in the Billy Graham crusade and was going to take over the ministry of Billy Graham, but it ended up being Franklin Graham, the son. So I've been around, and I remember the first time I visited Leighton, it was a program called Arrow Leadership Program, and it was kind of like a Zacchaeus thing. I'd never been around evangelicals. I didn't even know what that meant. I mean, I knew that they were a whole lot more enthusiastic in their approach to worship than I was accustomed to, very high church. But at the time, I was involved in a lot of inner city ministry, and so Danny Mayfield and I, we went, and we thought, you know, maybe this will be an interesting experience. I mean, for one, the lodging and the food was free, so that was a definite plus. So at the time, that was something that we valued. And I remember when we got there, these were all kind of blue blazer, khaki pants kind of people, you know, which I went to Sewanee. I'm an Episcopalian. I know what a seersucker suit is. But that was the crowd. So we kind of stuck out. And in a way, we were like Zacchaeus, just find a tree and just kind of hang out and try to stay out of sight and see if you can't kind of enjoy a little bit of the parade that comes by. So this particular passage could, in fact, be kind of boring or predictable, depending on how you interpret verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, the issue here is, as it relates to Zacchaeus' financial dealings, the issue is the verb tense. Is he telling the Lord, I've been doing this? And the King James is in the present tense. The New Revised Standard Version is more like future tense. Like, you know, I've seen you. Now I understand what a terrible person I am. I'm going to do all this. That's the kind of formula that we're more accustomed to. But is he basically acknowledging that maybe he'd been looking at Jesus from afar, kind of picked up some of his ideas, and he's been kind of engaged in that? The passage is pretty self-explanatory. Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem, does a little detour through Jericho. people know he's coming. I can't completely visualize what it's like for him to walk down the street and have people come out of their houses. Some of it is our actual followers, perhaps that had met him previously. Others are just people who had heard. And Zacchaeus may, in fact, have been somebody who had heard about him and had been picking up some of his ideas. Now, three things come to mind when I look at the text. I think of sight, I think of wealth, and I think of stature. Sight in terms of Zacchaeus sees Jesus, or wants to see Jesus. And in fact, in that scenario, Jesus sees him. Prior to this passage, there is the healing of the 10 lepers, where one of the lepers comes back and acknowledges the Lord because he saw what had happened to him. Vision seems to be really, really an element, at least of Luke's rendition of this passage. And then the other one is wealth. Zacchaeus is a wealthy person, it says, and he is strangely, and Luke actually, in his dealings with wealth, is constantly sort of hammering on how people misuse wealth. Wealth comes up. Like, in the same gospel, the rich young ruler, who by all accounts is a fairly righteous person, is presented with this option of putting aside your interests in wealth and follow me. And he, to this day, is still struggling with that, I guess. And yet, here's a highly disreputable human being who seems to be willing to part with his wealth and correct, by way of reparations on some level, some of the things that he had been doing or mistakenly did. And then the other thing is stature. Not only is Zacchaeus short, but he is kind of short in status. Not many people respect him. I don't know what it was, and people can have kind of a funny relationship with people who they benefit from. From what we can see, Zacchaeus did kind of help people out. And they know this, so maybe that's why they didn't heckle him. They just didn't give him a prime spot, to see what was coming. But his stature is low. And once again, Jesus is constantly, confounding us with using, disreputable kind of acquired taste kind of human beings for our edification. So when you go back to, what do we make of all this in relation to our central question? Is it present tense? In verse 8, and scholars, if you really care to look into this, really go back and forth and are very divided by this. And as I mentioned earlier, they kind of go with the classic reading of it, that it's past tense because it fits into a formula. But what we know about Jesus, I don't think fits into a formula. I think that really what is going on is that Zacchaeus had begun to sort of mend his life, and he was curious about the actual human presence of the ideas that he was entertaining, and he wanted to see for himself. And what's interesting about the encounter is that I'm not exactly sure whether Zacchaeus saw Jesus, but Jesus saw him and called him down and went to his house, asked us and said that not because of your faith. He didn't say that. He didn't say because of what you've been doing. He just said your household is saved. It's remarkable. So what does that mean for us? I don't completely know, but I think one takeaway could be that find don't always be preoccupied with seeing Jesus, but find places where he can see you. Sometimes the best you can do is just to get in his way and find that encounter that way. And there have been moments when I just did not feel many moments with God speaking at all. It was like a wall. And I found myself finding some sycamore tree, some place where I thought someone might see me. You know, sometimes it's a phone call to somebody who you want them to ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? I'm okay. Really? Not really. And then you talk. So I encourage you to get in his way frequently. Amen.
Now let us pray for the good creation, for the church, and for all people. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of God. Pray that they may find and be found by God. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially J.R. Hicks. Pray for those who have died. We pray especially for Courtney and the family of J.R. Hicks, Elaine, Nelson, Randy, Lisa, Judy, Harry, Nader. We pray for those concerns and those joys that you now name. O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you.
Peace, brother.
With us again. It's always a joy and a blessing to have Chris with us.
Appreciate it.
And one quick announcement, the sign-ups for November for the food pantry are out in the Norfolk, so please, if you feel called, put your name on the list. Even if you don't feel called, let me twist your arm just a bit. So that's all I have.
Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessings of family and friends, and for the love and care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us the tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for the disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
Thank you.
peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace and believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.